Hello, ladies. Welcome to the Luncheon Wasn't Worship Awesome. Let's give God a hand today. So great to have our band here leading us. It's always great to have them, and we're just so glad that you could be here. I know it's a very busy Saturday. Apparently, all sports leagues in Frisco kicked off today. So if you're here, that means your husband's taking care of sports and kids and all those things. So thank you for making the sacrifice. I know it's hard. We're going to look at that next year to see if we can move it back a few weeks so you don't have to compete with all those things. But we're glad you could be here, even in the humidity. Thank you for standing in line. We'll be sure to fix that so it's a little bit more streamlined. But thank you so much. I'm just so glad that you're here. You know, we only get together as a big sisterhood a few times a year. And this is one of those times. We try to do this for retreat and for the spring, for the luncheon. And then also we have our summertime Bible study coming up that we hope you'll be a part of and take advantage of that. But it's just always great because this is really the heartbeat of what we do, is to come together as women. The sisterhood exists to really encourage us in life, to be able to worship together, to be able to be vulnerable in relationships and communicate with each other in a way that's impactful, to develop those relationships. And this is one way that we do that. So I'm glad that you're here. I hope that today you get something out of this that you can take forward in life, that you're come today not just to have a great time and enjoy beautiful tables and girl talk, but you'll come away with some deep life lessons. I never want us to get together and not come away with something that God can do in our lives. So let's dive right in. We're going to talk today. I left some notes on your seats there. I can hear my mic. I know they were like, what are you doing? Okay, so we're going to dive into, you've got your notes there, how to make it to the other side. So all of us are trying to get somewhere in life. And today we're going to dive into one of my very favorite stories found in the book of Joshua. And before we get up, before you put the notes on the screen, I just want to give you a little bit of context, a little setting for what's happening in this story. I always encourage you women, when we're in Bible study or any kind of meeting, when we're talking about how to study the Bible or how to hear from God, you know, how do I know God's will for my life? All those things. When we're opening the word, we should always be, if God's speaking to us through a scripture, it's important to look a little before and a little after to figure out what's going on. So the setup for this story today for Joshua chapter 3 is, it's the next morning after the spies have returned from Jericho to figure out what's going on in Jericho, what they're up against. And actually, they've encountered Rahab. If you remember that story, we discussed it this year at retreat. They've encountered Rahab. She's ensured her safety by helping the spies, the men of God that were sent on behalf of the people of Israel to find out what kind of army they were going to face, what kind of infrastructure was there, and all those things. So this is, it's finally time for the Israelites to take a stand for the promised land. Most of us in here have probably heard the story of the Israelites and the great exodus out of Egypt where God delivered them. So now they've been wandering around in the desert for all these years. Moses, their leader, has actually died at this point, and Joshua has been chosen as the next leader of Israel. Joshua, who basically kind of grew up in the wilderness, has grown up under the leadership of Moses, has grown up watching God perform on their behalf, and now he's been chosen as the next leader. So we're picking up this story with, it's time. The time has finally come. The moment is here. So Joshua chapter 3, let's pick that up. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. So Joshua has been prepped for this moment. And I love that because it kind of reminded me, you know, I thought a lot about him watching Moses through the years. Like, what must that have been like? Did he ever know down deep inside that, like, someday he would be leading? Was it something he kind of figured out was going to happen for him? Or was he just kind of passively involved in the process? And I thought about my own childhood. My parents were in ministry my whole life. My dad was on staff at our church after I was 10 years old. But before that, they were always at the church serving. He had a position on staff, but he wasn't paid. You know, a lot of you serve at church and do those things. But I can remember growing up, literally, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night mission rally, Sunday afternoon. Did anybody grow up like this? every single night, right? There was visitation. We used to do visitation, all kinds of things. If there was something, if the doors were open at the church, my family was there. But what I remember about those days, I never dreaded it. I always loved it. We kind of ran amok, like, you know, in the lights on and off, on and off, on and off. I remember like hide and go seek in the dark nursery after hours, those kinds of things. You found ways to amuse yourself, as I'm sure my children do now. I'll probably hear horror stories when they get older. But I grew up in the church. But what I remember most about it is that I felt like they kind of groomed me for a life of ministry. As I look back, once I got old enough, my dad would take me along to the hospital visits, and I would watch him pray with people as they sat in the hospital battling whatever it was they were battling. I remember going to funerals with my dad, and he would talk to me about compassion. He would literally pour that into me. I remember watching my mom with students or with women or with other kids. I always watched her, and I would wake up and watch them reading their Bibles and praying together. I grew up in a very godly home, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Tim says I grew up like Pollyanna, a little bit like, rainbows and roses. Anybody? So I'm so grateful for that. But what I related to Joshua here was that I know what it's like to be prepped for something, even if you don't really know that you're being prepped for it, right? And that's the way Joshua was. He grew up in all of this. How did he know he was gonna be the little kid that was eventually gonna turn into the leader of the Israelites, the chosen people of God? And here he was prepped for this moment. So I want us to get a few things out of these verses. So good. First of all, we cannot get ahead of God. We can't get ahead of God. How can we follow something that we cannot see? How can we follow something that we cannot see? You know, if we try to get ahead of God, something might go wrong. Has anybody ever found themselves trying to get ahead of God? Maybe you thought you knew better than God did. I think we've all probably been there, right? Like, God, I know that you tell me all these things that I'm supposed to know in your word, but I don't know if you know that I'm really gifted at discernment, and I got this. Like, I'm really gifted to be able to see things kind of played out 10 steps ahead, so I'm already ahead of you. Maybe you have all these scenarios why you are a little bit better at deciphering your future than God is, but whatever the case may be, we tend to get ourselves ahead of God. Have you ever gotten ahead of yourself in something? I tend to be a really busy person, so like, let's talk about housework. Like, I tend to start in the living room, and I'm picking up pillows. And then I think, oh, this needs to go in the kitchen. And I go to the kitchen. Oh, I didn't finish the dishes. Let me put that down. Like, get the dishes done. And then the dish rag is dirty. So I'm going to take that to the laundry room where there are piles of laundry always waiting. Is that ever done? No. Just forget trying to get ahead of laundry. It doesn't happen. You're going to die someday and your house is going to have mounds of laundry. It is what it is. We're never, ever going to get, you know, I always think if I could hire one thing done, I think it would be laundry. Right? Anybody? Anybody? So I just flit all over. And then after about 30 minutes of all over the house, I realize I haven't really gotten anything done. You feel like that, right? Nothing is really done. Everything's kind of still a mess. And I've just gone from room to room. I'm getting way ahead of myself. So it's like, okay, let me just finish the living room and then finish the kitchen and then work on the laundry and do things one at a time. Because we tend to get ahead of ourselves doing a lot of things but not getting anything done. Is that ever like that in your spiritual life? Where you tend to be really busy about God things, but you're not really getting anything done? Or you're not really taking a step in the right direction? Because we're way out in front of God, maybe. And he's saying, I wanna show you something, but you gotta let me lead, right? It's like a dance partner. Somebody has to be the lead, and it probably shouldn't be you. Have we considered that God can make a way where there is no way? When things seem impossible, when a diagnosis comes, when you have an illness, when you have a death, whatever it may be, when things seem impossible, when the finances don't add up, that God can make a way where there is no way. And he says, when you see them coming, pay attention. So let's look at the next one is, when he moves, we move. When he moves, we move. What he says is, when you see the priest coming with the ark of the Lord, if you don't know, is where the presence of God was sort of encapsulated, right? So it was known throughout all the Israelites and really beyond the Israelite people to even their enemies and the people surrounding them. Everyone knew that their God was encapsulated in this big gold box thing that they would carry around on their shoulders, really heavy, really beautiful, ornate box. So when you see the presence of God moving, it says step out from your positions and follow after it. So I imagine everyone kind of going about their day and maybe going about their work, and it's like they've got one eye up. If you've ever played Spoons, anybody ever played Spoons? Anybody? If you've played Spoons, raise your hand. In the game of Spoons, you have to be looking at your own cards and also looking in the middle the whole time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't look in the middle, you're going to end up with an S, right? You're going to spell out the word Spoons. If you've been in a violent game of Spoons, raise your hand. Anybody? If you've bled over it, yes. So it's the same thing. We've got they've got their stuff to do. They've got their life to live. But he's saying he wants them to be paying attention so that any time if they see the Spirit of God begin to move, they can step out from what they're doing and follow after what God's doing. When he moves, we need to move. So we have a choice to make that when he does begin to start moving, are we even aware that he is doing that? Are you even awake? Is the light switch on that God is working all around you? Or do you find yourself in this routine of life where you're just so wrapped up in your own stuff, you wouldn't know the presence of God if it hit you in the face. Does anybody ever feel like that? Well, that lady says she hears from God. I don't even know what that means. I'd like to hear from God. That'd be nice. But could it be that we're so wrapped up in our own selves and our own muck and our own depression and our own thoughts that we somehow lose the idea that there's God stuff happening all around us? Because life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. It's not easy, and it's in the time that we're living in, it is full of distractions, right? It's full of distractions. But if we're not aware that God is interested and moving us from point A to point B, and what he's saying is, hey, eyes up here, look at me. When you see me moving, step out from your position and follow after me. When he moves, we need to move. Now, the next big thing in verse 4 is, I'm gonna go a way that you've never gone before. Boy, that's an exciting phrase, isn't it? We're gonna go a way that you've never gone before. Some personalities would interpret that as exciting, an adventure to be embraced. Some would interpret that as like, I need to know all the details about where we're going before you even think about trying to slap that on me. Does anybody like the details? You don't want to go somewhere you haven't been before? It's okay, you can raise your hand. If you don't like to go somewhere you've never been before because you don't know the details, you can raise your hand. Okay, if you love adventure and that sounds very exciting to you, let's see those people. Okay, we got about probably half and half. So you might think this is not an exciting verse. I think it's an exciting verse. Let's go somewhere new. This will be great. This will be fun. But sometimes it's not so fun, right? But he's saying, I'm going to take you to a place you've never been before. We're going to go a different way than you've ever gone before. It's not on Google Maps. It's not on Waze. It doesn't even exist because I'm going to take you a different way. This right here, this is why we worship, why we work, why we wait for him. Maybe when you're in the in-between of what God is doing in your life, maybe he has poured out to you and you've read enough to know that he's given you a specific direction, he's given you a specific verse, and you're kind of sitting and waiting on that to come about. Has anybody ever found themselves there where you're like, hey, remember last year when you gave me that verse? And I was like, yes, this is my verse. This is my life verse forever, amen. And then I've just been sitting here waiting, God, what happened to that? Why? This is why we wait. This is why we worship him, because he is going to show us something we've never seen before. He's going to blow our minds with how he's going to accomplish something through us, right? There's not a person in here that feels more frail and inadequate than I assure you. And I marvel that God is able to speak into us in the way that he is and use us in our lives, if our hands are open to him. But moving when he says move, and embracing the fact that he says, we're gonna go a different way than we've ever gone before, and I've got you, keep your eyes up. The formula is listed for us in verses 3 and 4. Step out to follow me. Let's move when I say move. Keep your eyes on me, and we're gonna go a different way. Now, let's go to Joshua 3:5. Joshua 3:5, we must prepare for his power. I don't know that I said, you're probably all of you in here that like fill in the blanks. I missed the very first blank. He must precede in order for us to proceed. Are you happy? Precede, proceed. Okay. Second, you must prepare for his power. You must prepare for his power. Joshua 3:5 says this. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. We're going to camp out here for just a minute. A short verse, not a lot in it, but it has a lot to say. It packs a powerful, powerful punch. So consecrate, that's not a word we use in everyday language. It's not a word we use, but consecrate means to prepare, okay? So when he's talking about something big is coming, it's time to prepare. So anything in life that comes our way that we have to prepare for, let's think, pregnancy, right? You get pregnant, you're married, you get pregnant, maybe not in that order, but hopefully it was in that order. You get pregnant, you're married, and you're waiting on the baby. Let's say you didn't do any research to get ready for that day. What would that be like, right? Like shock. You get to the hospital, all the pain, nobody told you about it. There's a myriad of reasons why it's important to prepare for that moment when the baby comes. And then when you get home, we had some friends that had a baby just this last week, and he called Tim last night and said, hey, this is hard. He did. We're not sleeping. Tim was like, well, you have a completely dependent human. You're not gonna sleep. Say goodbye to sleep. I hope you slept enough. It's gonna be like 20 years before you really get any sleep, right? It's gonna be a while. It's gonna be a while. They can get their own selves up, get their own breakfast, and grab a tablet. Man, that's a good Saturday morning. Anybody got older kids? That's a good stuff. So yeah, if we don't prepare, it's a bit of a surprise, right? How about if, let's see, I ran a race last year, my first and only race. Claudia told me, you're gonna fall in love with running. It's gonna be so fun. Your body's just gonna love it. No, we haven't trained again, have we? We've never run together again after that. I trained for this and it wasn't even like, it was 9 miles. Like there's half marathoners and marathoners in here going, whatever, 9 miles, I can do that in my sleep. Well, it was a big deal for me. So I trained for months and months and months to get ready for it. And I'm gonna tell you something, the day of the race, it was not easy. I struggled to finish. I can remember thinking the finish line was in one place, and then when we got there and it wasn't, I was like, where is the finish line? She's like, oh, it's another mile. I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. I'm never doing this again. Never, nope. But if I had gotten to that day and never prepared to run that long of a distance, I would have been walking. They would have been like, excuse me, ma'am, can you move off the track and step aside while the runners take their place? You gotta prepare yourself for that. You gotta prepare yourself to run a race. You gotta prepare yourself for some. Consecrate yourselves. It's not only physical, but spiritual. What Joshua is saying here is, get ready in the spirit, because God is getting ready to do something amazing. And sometimes when God is calling out to us, I wonder how many in here have been in this place where you did feel like an urge or a nudge from God to do something different than maybe you had done before, or if you had sensed that God was getting ready to do something in your life and he was stirring up. Did it feel like every song that came on the radio, every time your Bible flipped open, every time you came into a church service, you were seeing some themes? Did God ever speak in themes where you're like, oh, I just heard that verse. And a friend sends me this, or I see something on Instagram, and then you realize like, okay, that's God trying to show me something, right? Anybody ever felt that? And then maybe ignored it because it was just a little too much, just a little too hard? And what Joshua is saying to them is, consecrate yourselves. He's telling an entire nation of people. We're 150 women in this room. He's telling literally over 1 million people, get ready because God's about to do something amazing. So sometimes when we are hearing from God, he might be asking us to do something in the physical that represents what's happening in the spiritual. What do I mean by that? If he's asking you to get ready for something, to really hear from him, right? He might ask you to give up that Netflix show you keep watching that may be a little sketchy, right? He might ask you to watch what's going in your ears, like music, or going out late. And maybe he's gonna ask you to give up wine for a while. Who knows? I'm just saying, he might. I mean, You might have to get some spiritual counsel on that, but he might. He might ask you those things. He might ask you to give some things up in the physical to represent that he's getting ready to do something different in the spiritual, because what he's trying to do is get you to a place where you can hear from him without distraction. And what happens is we just gather all these things up that we do, right? And they fill up our space, our mental, emotional, physical capacities, and you don't have anything left to stuff God into that space because it's filled up with all of this distraction. He's saying, consecrate yourselves, get ready. So in the physical, sometimes we're gonna pay attention to what God is speaking to us ever so slightly to sacrifice maybe. In the spiritual terms, what does that mean? So we've got consecrating, preparing ourselves in the physical. What about the spiritual aspects of spending effort and time to listen to God? Spending effort and time. That's a lot. Anybody in here feel like they have an endless amount of effort and time? If you have figured that out, can you just come up and do the next session for us? Because I think we would all like to learn, right? How many of us just have a lot of effort and time on our hands to give? But what God is saying is in the spiritual, we got to make time for that. There's got to be something that we can do to make time for that. Let's be honest, we have time to do what we want to do. Is that right? Has anybody ever told you that? A wise woman told me that in college, and I was always like, huh, she's right. I found that to be true in my life. You have time to do what you want to do. So if God is nudging you to prepare yourself, to get yourself ready, then we must be paying attention and not ignoring his calling. Recently, I walked through kind of a tough season, personally, spiritually. And I can remember during that time, spending a lot of time on my knees, more than normal. You know, I know that y'all probably think Tim and I get up at 4 a.m. and spend 2 hours in our prayer closet before we see the light of day, but that's just not true. It's just not. We have our own ways of being with the Lord, and I've found through the years what works for me, and spending a lot hour blocks of time in the office with the door shut, with everybody leaving me alone, just doesn't happen a lot, right? It's busy. There's 3 boys in the house, all their friends. It's crazy. It's just busy, right? But I found myself in this place where I knew the only way to walk through it was to be on my knees. And because my heart felt so desperately broken, the only way was to listen to the Lord's voice. And when he said, Carrie, consecrate yourself, because what I did, and I'll tell you where this sermon really came from, was this verse I opened, and I started reading through this story again of Joshua coming into leadership and how he led the people through and how God used this kid that decided he was gonna say yes to God. And I was reading through, and this verse just came off the page at me. And that's when I knew God was saying, get ready, because I'm about to do something. Well, I just stuck on the word consecrate, because it means to sanctify, to set aside, to prepare, to spend some time on it. So I just found myself at the feet of God, and I found myself every day sort of in that place where I would say, what do I need to do today to prepare myself for whatever it is next? What do I need to do today to get ready for what you're gonna do so I can see it and be aware of it and know that you're moving so I can follow you, Lord, help me to do that. And another verse he gave me during that time, and I don't really know where it's found. Anybody else do that? I can quote it, but I don't know where the address is. He is faithful when we are faithless. He is faithful when we are faithless. And what I found is, as I said yes to preparing my heart and my mind, he was faithful to prove out to me that he's got this, right? Consecrate yourselves, preparing for the power, because he's about to do something amazing. If you're in here and you're one of the fortunate ones that has seen God do amazing things, you are very blessed. I think we look at the Bible and read all these great, awesome stories, and we think, well, why can't that happen for me? You know, they prayed for this and this thing happened. Well, we're seeing highlights of, like, you know, the big moments in these people's lives that really just happened once in their whole lifetime. But what we see is proof that God can do amazing things. He can roll back the walls of a sea so a million people can walk through and not just get all muddy, but walk through on dry ground. He can do that twice. He didn't do it once. He did it twice, actually, in the same time frame, right? In just a few years apart. He can take a woman who's barren with no children and open her womb to be fruitful. And we see that through scripture. And we know stories of those sitting in this room today who have experienced that. Our God can do amazing things on our behalf. He can take something that looks impossible and do something amazing. He can take common people like fishermen in the New Testament and literally change the entire world with their willingness to serve, like the disciples and like Joshua and Abraham and Moses and all these guys. He can take common people and do something amazing, and he can do that for you. Let's move on to the last point. You need his promise to be promoted. Joshua 3:7. We need his promises to be promoted. Basically, we need to hear the voice of God in order to move on, right? We need to hear that. So 3:7 says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel so that you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. So the promise is, Joshua, I'm gonna lift you up. Joshua, I'm getting ready to start lifting you up. I love the idea of I will begin to exalt you or lift you up. Like, I'm gonna start, your leadership and influence is about to start expanding with this million people army we got here. Your leadership and your skills are going to be noticed, and people are going to be, they're going to tend to follow after you, or maybe they were a little bit skeptical of you before. I'm going to begin to lift you up, Joshua, and you are going to lead. What I love about this idea is, who is doing the heavy lifting? God is doing the heavy lifting, right? Joshua doesn't have to go around screaming, he picked me, follow me, everybody get in line, I'm the leader now. He doesn't have to go around proclaiming that, right? You ever known somebody like that? Maybe not. I have known a couple, right? Where the Bible is clear about God doing the increasing. God is the one that does the heavy lifting. He's the one that increases us. He's the one that gives influence. He's the one that gives anointing. He's the one that sends the word. He's the one that sends the mandate out. He's the one that calls us. He's the one that does it. It's not us. Newsflash, it's not us. He has gifted and equipped you for a certain calling and purpose in life, but it is him who does the heavy lifting. And he does it here with Joshua. I will begin to lift you up. Your influence will expand. You will lead these people to the next chapter to finally, finally step onto the promised land. Finally put their toes on this place where he's promised all those years ago. God does the heavy lifting. And then the promotion, Joshua 1:3, 5, and 6. Let's look at those. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. There's so much in this, we don't have a ton of time left. But the promotion is, you're finally gonna step your foot in the place that I promised your ancestors all those years ago. He's actually been talking about this moment for like decades. Do you understand? Time. So when we're a little bit impatient about God answering our prayers, let's remember these people. Let's remember that way back when he said, hey, I'm gonna make your descendants like the stars in the sky and the sands on the sea. There's gonna be so many to Abraham. That's what he told him, because this is all Abraham's line coming right down. I'm gonna make your descendants so many you're not even gonna believe it. And they waited and waited and waited and waited for that day. Always trying to get ahead. If you really go back and read their stories, there's so much that's a little bit humorous that we can relate to, because they're trying to get ahead of God. They're trying to figure it out their own way. They're trying to make a path over here that wasn't ever in God's plan. They're mad at God. They voice that. They communicate that. They express that to him. All manner of things along the way. And finally, the time comes. And the promise has already been given. And now it's time to finally be promoted and move forward in God's plan and move forward in the next chapter for what he has for them. And he says, Joshua, stand strong and courageous. I know you're scared. I know that you feel like, wait, I needed more time. I needed more time. I don't think I'm ready. But be strong. Be courageous. Take the leadership I've given you. Make a difference. Don't worry about all the fears that you have. Joshua, I want you to keep your eyes. And when I say move, it's going to be time to move. So I want you to bow your heads for a minute. I'm going to ask you just a few questions. And I want you to really reflect on these as we get ready to close up today. If God were to come to you and ask you to move, or if he were to step out and you were aware that he was around, you were aware that he was moving, but you maybe were choosing not to up until this point in life. Like, listen, God, I just feel like if I really follow you, you're going to ask me for so much that I am not willing to give, or you're going to change my life so much. Maybe my husband's just not ready. I don't want to like upset the household dynamic with me being all into God and him not. And God, there's so many things. My life is too busy. I'm inadequate. Why would you ask me to do anything for you, Lord? But what if we were to stand before our God, our Savior, and open our hands and say, here I am, Lord, send me. No matter what causes fear in my life, no matter who has disappointed me, no matter how scary it may look or how little I have to offer, what if we were to open our hands and say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm your bondservant, Lord, use me. Use me. Use all of my life for all of you, that every single day there would be an impact made because you're working through my hands, my feet. Lord, today, would you move in this place, God? We come before you. We ask for you, Lord, to move. We want to follow after you, Lord. We pray that you would touch every heart in this room that's come here today in a really busy season of life, and they've taken some time to sit here, and they didn't come on accident. God, you've called and ordained us to this room today. I believe it. And Lord, what we pray is that you would move in our hearts, and we would say yes to that. We would step out from our positions and follow after you, Lord, that you would be in front so we can see you and follow after you, God. No matter where the road may take us or what you ask of us, would you stand as we worship our God today?